This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Maryam Lemo. Jazakumullahu khairan Al Buruj Press for hosting this live event. May Allah grant all of us the full blessings of this month of Ramadan. I am coming to you live on various platforms, so I would like you to share your comments in the comment section below and post any questions you might have, because at the end of this whole event, inshallah, I will be doing a Q&A. So very much looking forward to that. I'm going to be talking about the secrets of marital success, living with dignity and love. Now, few selections in human life can be as sensitive and as essential as selecting a life partner. This selection has the fundamental potential of determining our success and prosperity in life, or our misery and misfortune. In other words, our marriage can break or break us. Now, I describe marriage as two unique individuals who come together to complement each other. Two individuals who guide each other and encourage one another to get closer to their maker, who grow together in God consciousness and the fear of offending him. Two unique individuals who help and support each other in developing emotionally, intellectually, socially, and in the service to humanity, who fulfill each other's needs, wants, and fantasies, who are garments for one another, who protect each other's dignity and look out for each other's best interests, whom you feel completely emotionally and physically safe around. Together, you build a nurturing, loving, and safe home, and a climate and culture where each of you thrives and achieves your greatest calling. You are together and you're in a climate where there are no secrets. You hide nothing from one another. You're an open book. You are each other's confidants. You get to know each other better than anyone else in the world. You can be your true self around your partner. Marriage is about give and take of mutual fulfillment and mutual satisfaction. Marriage is living with your companion, your buddy, your mate, your best friend, and your lover. You get to grow old with this person and go on a lifelong adventure of self-discovery and personal evolution. The one whose soul you fall in love with whom the steady burning embers of true love remain constant long after the fire of passion has died down. Whenever you look at each other, you feel contentment in your heart. Why? Because you know that you are with the one that Allah created just for you. Now, as I was describing what, in my opinion, marriage is, how many of you were thinking, I don't know what she's talking about? How many of you never witnessed that? Now, alhamdulillah, I was privileged to witness it in my parents for 50 years of their marriage until Allah called my mother home first. Alhamdulillah, this is what my husband and I have been able to nurture and build over the past 29 years. I know when I was describing marriage, some of you were thinking, not in our home. In fact, all we have is fights. There's disrespecting, there's shouting, there's putting down. I feel trapped, I feel broken. I'm abused either emotionally, physically, psychologically, economically, or sexually abused. There is contempt, there is disgust. You feel betrayed, you feel disappointment. You find that you're just managing your spouse. You're literally like roommates. In my relationship, there's maybe manipulation, games and politics, a struggle for power. In some relationships, people will say, oh no, actually in my house, there's show off economic superiority, spiritual or intellectual superiority. It could be anything. The list goes on. The big question I always ask is why? If Allah has described marriage with words like love and mercy, and we're meant to dwell in tranquility with one another, lounge in peace, happiness, and contentment. And nowhere did he say marriage is about managing one another, about disrespect, about self-sacrifice, about oppression, when even in Islam, oppression is worse than slaughter. So why is it so hard? Why are so many marriages not working compared to those that are? Why are some couples able to give 110% of their into their relationship? They are committed 110% compared to those who are not. Why does love and mercy exist in some marriages and not in others? And how did things get so bad? Now, what I find so interesting is how we make and how we take our other religious rituals more serious than our marriage. Our prayers, our fasting, the sadaqah, the non-obligatory, visiting the sick, being good to our neighbors, the sunnah and the hijabi look, the memorization of the Quran, the nawafil, the zikr, all those are good. They are absolutely wonderful. However, when fulfilling our obligations to our spouse constitute half of our ibadah, imagine combining all those other things I've mentioned, the obligatory and the non-obligatory, fulfilling our obligations to our spouse is actually what fulfills half of our faith. All the other acts put together only constitute half, whereas this one act of fulfilling obligations to our spouse constitutes the other half. Isn't that where we should be putting so much energy into researching and making sure we cross our T's and dot our I's and we do all the details? When we pray, we try to pray the right way. When we recite, we want to recite perfectly. But why is it we behave so badly in marriage? This is where we need to refocus and recalibrate the way we view marriage. And guess what? If we start by fulfilling our obligations to our spouse, what gives us half or completes half of our ibadah, it's an added bonus. What happens? It brings true happiness to the relationship and peace of mind. The sad thing is there are so many who don't even know their rights and obligations. They don't know that Allah is going to ask them. No money in the world can give you that peace of mind and true happiness that you get from a peaceful home. There is nothing like having peace of mind. And a good marriage can give you that and even so much more. Because fulfilling your obligations is actually the foundation to a peaceful home. Yes, and a happy spouse who will most likely be very eager to satisfy all your needs, your wants, and your fantasies. Obligations in marriage include a halal relationship. Yes, your spouse owes you a halal relationship and you owe your spouse that. And by fulfilling each other's intimacy needs, it'll most likely bring down the rate of infidelity that we see that's on the rise today, committed by both spouses, which will also bring down the rate of sexual frustration in relationship for both spouses, which will, inshallah, reduce the rate of spouses turning to pornography and masturbation, which is disturbingly on the rise, especially amongst women. Another obligation that we owe our spouse is love, respect, and kindness. Yes, each one of us owes our spouse that. Any normal human being, yes, any normal human being who receives love, respect, and kindness will most likely respond in kind. The Prophet ﷺ said that the heart has been created in a way that it loves those who show kindness towards it and dislike those who cause it pain. He also said, indeed, among the believers with the most complete faith is the one who is best in conduct and the most kind to his family. So instead of us having these quotes on the tips of our tongues, we should translate the narration into action. When I think about, and I do a lot of marriage counseling, how badly many of us are behaving today in marriages, I worry about what we're going to go and say before Allah. What happened to the love and mercy that He said He has placed in our hearts? I often say, there is no miracle lecture that will fix your marriage. There is no dua, fast, or prayer that will fix a marriage if you do not tie your camel first, if you don't do the right thing, if you don't change what lies within you. If you start to look in the mirror and ask yourself some key questions, it might actually turn things around. Ask yourself, what am I doing? What am I not doing? What else could I start? This was the turning point for my husband and I. Our marriage had reached rock bottom. But the moment I started to do that introspect and ask for feedback, it turned things around. And I'll share that with you very soon. But like I said, if we could only start by fulfilling our obligations, which is in black and white, just go on Google. I don't have much time, so I won't go through it all. But just go and Google it. What are your rights and what are your obligations to your spouse? Like I said, that is the foundation for a happy home. I was asked to talk about the secrets of marital success, living with dignity and love. What I just described to you is the state of a lot of marriages today. Now, let me share with you the best practices that my husband Saeed and I have shared for the past 29 years, alhamdulillah, and what has made our marriage a success by Allah's will. Now, what I'm going to share with you is not a one size fits all. Nobody can give you that because every marriage is different. Every marriage is unique. These are just suggestions of tried and tested methods that we have used and we have shared with others. And alhamdulillah, the feedback is very positive. Now, this is for those you watching today. This is for those who are ready, truly ready to make their marriages work, who are ready to make some sacrifices. Yes, you're going to have to give a little and make some changes and to commit 110% to the process, regardless of if you are yet to be married or if you've been married for 50 years. The first tip is know your rights and know your obligations. Why? Because you will have to fulfill them. And if you don't, you're going to have to answer to Allah for it. Ignorance is not an excuse. If you're yet to be married, here are just a few words of advice that I'd like to give you. Don't waste your time, your money, your energy on trying to come up with this perfect image of a perfect wedding. The bling bling, no, don't go for the superficial over the substance. Don't go for traditions and cultural norms that make marriages difficult for your spouse to be. It goes against what Allah wants us to do. But when it comes to spouse selection, I'd like you to pull your brakes and be very careful. Tread carefully and do your homework. Investigate the person you want to marry thoroughly. And then talk to a lot of people who've been married, sensible people, and ask them what are their best practices. What are the things they wish they had known before they got married? And make sure you talk and talk a lot with your spouse-to-be. Make sure you're both on the same page so that there are no surprises. So talk. Then a word of caution. You're going to be so head over heels in love, but my advice is don't ignore warning signs. I believe it's Allah sending you a warning to pull your brakes. Do not ever ignore warning signs. Don't give in to pressure. And make sure you caught the halal way. I caught it the old-fashioned way. My father always made sure my husband and I, my fiancé and I, we sat in the living room, a thoroughfare. People would just come in, busybodies walking through, and they could hear the conversations we were having. Because he warned me, don't ever allow shaitan to be the third in the room. So no testing before you get married. No tasting, no touching to know how it feels. It is never too late to quit. No matter how deep, even if a wedding date has been set, the invitations have gone out, if Allah shows you warning signs and there's anything in your heart that you're not comfortable with, then make sure you hold on. Intensify your istihara from the onset. Again, you can Google that. How do you do istihara? You want Allah to guide you in your selection. You want Allah to put his stamp of approval in your selection. And may Allah grant you the ability to select the right spouse. But don't ever give in to pressure. Don't let anyone tell you either that they lived happily ever after belongs in fairy tales. Some people whose marriages didn't work out or are miserable in their marriages today will tell you that's just a fantasy, that's just a dream. It belongs in movies, in Bollywood or Hollywood, in novels. Don't fall for that. You'll be setting yourself up for failure. Now, it's just that you have to create your own story with your spouse. Yes, you both have to fill in the pages of the story every single day, consciously, deliberately, but most importantly, together. Now, if you are newly wedded and you are watching this program today, you will most likely go through or you've already gone through marriage shock. Yes, that euphoric stage won't last. And probably you've realized that by now. You'll know those sweet nothings that they were whispering in your ear. The masks come off and you get to see their true colors. Inshallah, hopefully, you were both sincere during courtship and there were no surprises. But you have to always remember, you are two totally different, unique individuals, different beings, and it'll take some time to adjust and synergize. For my husband and I, it took us about 5 to 6 years. And this is where you need a lot of patience. However, that patience, it's patience to see the results of your hard work that both of you are putting in. It should never be one-sided. Never forget, a true relationship is about both equally working at it, right? Both equally putting in, and inshallah, you'll both equally get out of it. In many homes today, sadly, you find one partner doing all the work, one partner putting in all the effort. When the kids come, they're practically raising the kids almost like a single parent. A successful marriage is about both parties equally committed to the success of the union, both parties equally contributing, equally giving, and inshallah, equally taking. Both parties equally committed to the success of one another, a success of one another. Both parties equally committed and on the same page when it comes to nurturing a healthy family. So it's about give and take, both equally putting and inshallah, both getting out. It's about mutual fulfillment. Now, everything I am saying applies not only to those yet to get married, but to those newlyweds and those who are married. So it doesn't matter how many years you've been married. This applies to everyone. It's about mutual give and take. Who doesn't want something beautiful and fulfilling in their relationship? And if your marriage is great, who doesn't want it to be even better? Now, early on, if you're newlywed, set marriage goals. If you didn't do it before today, then today is a good day to sit down and start discussing and come up with one. What is the big picture of your marriage? It always helps to have that target, what you're aspiring for, you know, what you're working towards. So keep your eyes on the target, both of you. Identify also the things that you witnessed growing up that you resented and didn't like, and make sure you do not replicate it in your home. Sometimes our parents get it wrong. I say this a lot. If you are married with children, it's important you ask yourself some key questions. Are we replicating what we saw in our homes that we detested growing up on our spouse or on our children? And another question to ask is, are you okay with your children replicating what they are seeing in both of you right now? Because you cannot tell children what marriage is meant to look like. You can only show them. They learn based on what they see. So if the answer is no, you don't want them replicating what they're seeing today, then you have to fix it. Why? Because we are passing on the baton, and our children's relationships are even meant to be better than ours. And we're going to have to answer to Allah for it. If they cannot do or give what they didn't see, then you can't blame them. You have to blame yourself. You have to always make sure you get it right so that they do what they see. Again, we're going to have to answer to Allah. Next, it's important you establish certain cultures. Don't let anyone impose their traditions into your marriage, because your marriage is unique. So create your own unique marriage culture and set boundaries. Protect one another from your relations. They can destroy your marriage. Yes, in-laws can destroy the marriage. I remember my husband Saeed told his family that it was his name that was called during the nikah, and nobody had any right to tell me what to do. Nobody could just walk into our house with unannounced and say or do as they please. He made sure they understood that there is a boundary. You don't cross this. You go through me. You don't just tell my wife what to do. And I had to do the same. Again, if you are already married and you didn't set boundaries, you have to find a way to tactfully fix this. Why? Because in-laws are destroying homes today. And amongst the obligations we owe one another is to be protectors, like a shield for one another, including protecting our spouses from our relations. Another right and obligation we have is we do not admit into the home someone that our spouse dislikes. And this applies to both of you. So this is about our relationship with Allah, not with our family, not with our friends. And we will answer to Allah. We will definitely answer to Allah if we do not shield or protect our spouse from our friends and our loved ones. Now, I'm sorry. I know what I'm saying is not pleasant. A lot of people are feeling uncomfortable trying to imagine, how am I going to cut off that relationship if it's not healthy, if my spouse isn't happy with that? Yes, rocking the boat is difficult and change is not easy. But I just have to say it. Why? Why are we here otherwise? If your spouse is subjected to torture and misery by your loved ones, what is this relationship about? It's not about them, it's about you. It's about peace and tranquility in your home. The trouble is many want things to get better, but don't want to do the dirty work. This is the kind of dirty work if you want to see change. Like I said, there is no miracle lecture or potion you can take that will fix your marriage if it's on the rocks or if your spouse is unhappy. Why are you married to each other if you're not ready to make each other happy? You have to take charge and you just have to do it. It's hard, it's unpleasant, it can be painful, but if they are not ready to support you, they are not ready to be supportive for the success of your marriage, they're not understanding, then I'm sorry to say they're not good for you. If they do not wish you well and happiness for your marriage, then are they really worth it? You just have to sometimes cut those ropes, sadly. And you will find much more happiness and much more peace. So if you want change, now is the time. There is no better time than today. And we continue to make dua even during the month of Ramadan for Allah to grant us wisdom. And I ask you to do that right now. Whatever is rocking the boat in your relationship, ask Allah for wisdom in how to handle it with tact, with dignity, and make it easy for you. Now, let us take a short break, inshallah, and when we return, I will continue to share with you what I believe is a great formula for a successful marriage. And I will go into more details on how to solidify your relationship and more, inshallah. Like I said before, feel free to leave your comments in the chat boxes and send your questions in because we will be doing Q&A at the end of the second half, inshallah. Join me for that episode. Assalamu alaikum.